Let's go into it. Let's go into the one. Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that truth of God's word is perfect accuracy. With clarity in position, there is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, that since we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Mark's Gospel 16. So how important is evangelism to God? Mark's Gospel 16. Let's look at some practicality. I'm going to help the person that asked the question about teenagers. Right? Who asked the question about teenagers? Who asked the question about teenagers? Let me see your hand. It was you. Okay, lovely. So I'll have you in mind as I'm preaching, okay? Yeah, because one of the things I wanted to address. Look at Mark 16, verse 18. I'm going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak what? With new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they do anything deadly, it will not hurt them. Now, emphasis is going to all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we've said that it is God's delight that what? Men are to reach the lost with his message of his love. It is God's delight that men are to reach the lost with the message of his love. You know, so one of the things we see is Acts 10:38, how Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed, who went about doing good, healing them that were oppressed and preaching the message of the gospel. Acts 10:38. Look at 1 Peter 2:21. Look at 1 Peter 2:21. Are you there? It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Brother John. I'm just remembering this question. Brother John.
I tried something that happened.
Hey. Are you the baker?
No.
You're the baker's friend. I'm not the baker. I'm the baker's friend. He says, for even there unto where he come, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that he should follow his steps. Who did not sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. So we see an example that Jesus models for us followership. Are we together? Jesus models for us followership. Let me show you something in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Are you in Luke chapter 9, verse 57? So what it says there? And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whither thou goest. And Jesus said, what did Jesus say in verse 58? Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man has not where to what? Lay his head. Look at 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, allow me to go and bury my father. Right? And Jesus said unto him, let the dead what? Bury their dead, but go thou and preach the what? Kingdom of God. Now, do you pay attention to what just happened now? Someone came and said, Jesus, please, I want to go and bury my father. Does that sound like a legitimate excuse? What did Jesus say about that? Hey, dead, buried, buried. Do you know that if a pastor responds in the exact words of Jesus to somebody who claims they love Jesus, they will get offended? You say, you're not sensitive. Jesus wasn't sensitive. What am I saying to you today? See, excuses are plenty in our pocket too. Excuses are plenty in our pocket. You can always have an excuse. Everyone can have an excuse. Yeah? He says, let the dead bury the dead. Now, mind you, Jesus wasn't saying everybody should go and sort themselves out. Because you can't take that literally. Let the dead bury, can the dead bury the dead? You understand? You can't take it literally. But what is Jesus teaching? Your focus and your emphasis as a disciple ought to put Jesus as priority. I'll say it one more time again for you to take notes. Your focus and emphasis in your life as a disciple of Jesus ought to put Jesus and his ministry and his work as priority. Look at verse 61. I'll say it again. Your focus and emphasis in life has to put Jesus and his ministry as a priority. Look at what it says again in the next verse, verse 61. Another also said unto Jesus, Lord, I will follow thee. Do you know we have these examples literally in our local churches every day? Where you lead me, I will follow. But look at what it says. But let me first go and say goodbye to them in my house. My friend is in town. I need to go and drop him at the airport. My mom is in town. I need to go and drop her at the airport. So I can say goodnight or bye to them before they leave. Now, logically speaking, does that sound like a legitimate excuse? Sort of sounds like a legitimate excuse. I want to say bye to my family. I want to say bye to my relative. Oh, pastor, I couldn't come to church again because my mom was sick. Well, this one says, my dad is dead. I want to go bury him. He says, well, let the dead bury the dead. Look at what he says emphatically. He says, verse 62, look at the reason why Jesus said what he said. He said, Jesus said unto him in verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is what? Fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means when you place your hands and decide to follow Jesus. You know that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. A lot of us sing, no turning back, and as we are singing it, we are turning back. No turning back, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. And in all of that, we're looking back. You know, some of us, we place our hands on the ministry of Jesus, put our hands on it, and when we just touch it, we see how heavy the work is, we remove our hands and put our hands behind. What is that excuse you can't give? I always ask this question this way. If everyone were to give an excuse the way you give an excuse, would there be a local church? If everyone were to give an excuse, no matter how legitimate it is, will there be a local church? You know, some of us, we find out that we give excuses at work. And if at work they tell us, for instance, that your excuse is not valid, what do? You've got to go to work. That's why you realize sometimes in some local assemblies, the kind of strains that it puts for discipleship and workers is heavy. You see, following Jesus is not to be at the pace of your fervency or at the pace of your selfishness or unseriousness. You don't follow Jesus on your terms. You follow Jesus on his terms. Jesus determines the pace. You don't follow Jesus on your terms. You follow Jesus on his terms. Let his terms lead you. Let his terms lead you. Let his terms lead you. You know, there's sometimes, let your consistency and commitment in church be so evident that the day you say, oh, you can't make it in church, your leader, your pastor knows by default, this has got to be serious. The day you can't make it for evangelism, your leader, your pastor knows this has got to be serious. Let me tell you something, right? It's not every Sunday morning I wake up, I feel like coming to church. In case you think it's only you, I'm trying to say it clearly to you. No. Sometimes I have long weeks, sometimes I have meetings back to back at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I have less than 3-4 hours of sleep, and I'm here by 9. Think about it. You know, I can decide to walk into this local church every day at 10 o'clock and ask all of you to come here and arrange the church. You know, I can do that. I can tell you I'm studying my car. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I can do that. But it's It's been almost running into 2 years. I can tell you that the only time someone has come to church before me as a pastor is not up to 3 times in almost 2 years. That is a model for you to see and copy. I'm trying to tell you, in these 2 years, almost 2 years, there are days I wake up. The times I wake up because I sleep late. And the reason I sleep late is not because I want to just, not because I'm watching movies. I'm dealing with something regarding church, reading the handbook, reading this, writing so many things, preparing my message, preparing or studying. We have an alarm in our house that wakes us up every Sunday morning at 7:40 a.m. Right? And sometimes it wakes me up at 7:40 a.m. and I'm in bed till 8 o'clock because I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Yesterday, I had some prayer time with some leaders in training. Right? Lasted from about 12 o'clock to about 5 o'clock. All through standing, our legs, all of them, their legs are paining them. And after that, my wife said she wants me to take her out. You're laughing. Did you not tell me or did you say? I didn't get back home last night until 12 a.m. I'm trying to show you, see, you can be a balanced human being. You have time for your wife, you have time for your children, you have time for your work, and you have time for what? God. And I was here again this morning at 9. We don't follow Jesus on our terms. You can have an excuse. There are days I come to church and I sprain my leg just before the day before church. And I'm here and I'm walking. I might be limping, you might not know. A few weeks ago, some of you knew, the ambulance had to come to the house on a Saturday before a Sunday. I was here on a Sunday. I could have said, I decided to rest. And I'm not, mind you, I'm not saying no rest. It's important to rest. Very important to rest. In fact, I'm trying to learn how to intentionally rest. Because I'm usually back to back. But some of us are resting, we've not done work. Some of us are resting, you've not done work. You can actually have an intentional attitude regarding the things of God. I'll be present. And that's how some of us blackmail God. Right? We blackmail God. Yet people are consistent with God until they get a job. Some of us until they get a child. God, if you give me this child, you'll be swearing to God and say, I will serve you to my last breath. God is me and you on this journey. Just give me a child. Oh God, just give me a job. Right? I come for believers with someone that tells you, I see how the spirit that you're gonna get this and get that. Say amen. I want you just receive the acceptance letter. Pastor, they say I should resume work at 3 on Sunday. Wait, they say you resume work at 3 on Sunday, so you are resting before 3. Then by 3 o'clock, what now happens? Say, Pastor, I'll just train on the line. If everyone behaved the way you behaved, would there be a local church? So I'm telling you, see, there are days where I have legitimate reasons. Yeah. But I will not allow any of those so-called legitimate to alter and tamper with my commitment to you all. That's a sense of responsibility. Someone reached out to me recently and wanted me to give her son some responsibility in the church, and the reason for that was basically just so that he can be committed in the local church. I will now give you responsibility. You will now be committed. The day you just wake up and decide not to be committed, what will now happen? You understand? So Jesus says, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back his feet for the kingdom. I've been raising my voice, I've been shouting, I've been using my last breath to tell you, you need to preach the gospel. Some of you, this is 4 weeks down the line. You've not still spoken to one person. I told you, you can have a deliberate, intentional time to go out and preach the gospel. This is a assume you're that busy, which I don't believe you are that busy. You can actually, on your way to work, from work. I work from home, some of you know that. So it means that before I can do the work of ministry, I need to leave my house. It's an intentional effort you have to make. So if you the slightest pain, you will go to church, you'll go to work, you can't ask for sick day off. But the slightest pain, all these excuses are all put in the bracket of, please, can you allow me to go bury my father? There must be an attitude you must have. Now look at verse chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 by 2 before the face of every city and place without him, he would come. The harvest is truly great, but laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into the harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send forth as lambs among wolves. Yeah, I send forth as lambs among what? Wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoe, salute no man by their way. And into whatsoever house he enter, first say peace be unto him. And if the son, if the son of peace be there, your peace shall what? Rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of hire. Go not from house to house. Look at verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, are you following? And they receive you, eat such things as they said before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is near you. That means preach the gospel as well. Are you here? Look at verse 10. But in whatever city you enter, and they receive you not, that means you can enter a city and they reject you. Go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of a city which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that what? City. Woe unto thee. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they have a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But if it shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despise me, and he that despises me despises him. That's what? Sent me. Look at Matthew's Gospel 19, verse 29. Matthew's Gospel 19, verse 29. Always associate that question. If people were to behave the way you behave in the local church, if your sense of commitment, right, and I always tell you, see, when I tell you the things I do, it is not to show you that I'm a pastor and I'm specially graced for it. No, I'm just the one who has intentionally made our time to be disciplined. Because you know the thing about it, you don't know where you'll find yourself tomorrow. You can learn commitment so much that anywhere you find yourself, you remain committed. I went for one of the special races I traveled for. You know something? The wife of the pastor reached out to me after the meeting, right? During one of the break sessions, and said she was telling her husband, the pastor, right, that if nobody is in church, I know Pastor Joshua will be in church at the time of the service. I went there just as not to minister, I just went there to attend. I'm blessed. Why? They've observed me over the years that if I come for that meeting, I'll be what? Seated when it is time. My wife knows if you go for any special meeting, she can't delay me. If I say we're leaving the house by this time, and your makeup has not, it has not been up, you make it down. We must go for the meeting. Why? Because if they give you an appointment at the embassy, you go there 3 hours before and stay under the cold and be waiting for your turn. Are we together? Look at Matthew's Gospel 19. Verse 28. And Jesus, and verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. Now, if you look at verse 29, look at verse 29, let's read verse 29 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And everyone who had forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last. What does it mean to forsake your father and forsake your mother? What a lot of people read from that is abandon responsibility. That's not what the Bible is teaching. Yeah? I remember there was a time that somebody reached out to me and said, Pastor, I can't become the church because my mom said every Saturday, I can't go for Saturday prayer meeting. My mom said every Saturday, I must take care of the house. I'm like, so what? How does that stop you from coming to church? Say, Pastor, you know, because we used to pray on Saturdays for like 2 hours, the evangelism 2 hours, every Saturday, every second and fourth Saturday in Nigerian church. Say, but I cannot come for it because Saturday is for cleaning. I'm like, what are you saying? Say, Pastor, you know, because I wake up by 7. Before I start cleaning the house by 7, time would have gone, the meeting would have started, and I just decided to just stay at home. That's the voice of one who is not serious. And I told the person, and I said, what happened to waking up at 4 o'clock? What happened to doing the work on Friday in the afternoon? You see, as a disciple, you must not say, Pastor, say you must forsake family and forsake brethren. You now don't do the work. You leave the house and say, I'm going to pray. From the prayer, if you find out, we ask you back to go and do the work. Then come and do the prayer. So what does it mean to forsake? It doesn't mean to be irresponsible. It means you prioritize. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was in a group of people and somebody came and met him? People came up to him and said, your brother and your mother, they are what? They are outside, they are looking for you. What did Jesus say? Who is my father? Who are my siblings? Save you all in front of me. Does that mean that Jesus abandoned his family, his brother, his mother? Mind you, he was so committed in their life such that in Acts chapter 1, his brother, mother, they were in the upper room. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Acts 1, 14, 16, 15, 16, 14, 15, 16. Mary, the mother of Jesus was there praying while they were tarrying, waiting for Acts 2, 1, day of Pentecost. That means they abandoned his family. What did Jesus teach him? You prioritize. Altogether, you prioritize. You prioritize. No, it's God first. So if your father, your mother ask you to do something for them, look at it in our world. What we do is, Pastor, I cannot come to church because my mom asked me to go and do this. Pastor, I can't come to church because my dad asked me to go and do this. Pastor, are you now saying I should be disobedient to my mom? No. But you know, you can still do that which your mom has asked you to do and still be in church. You can still do that which your father has asked you to do and still be in church. What about mom, please? I can't do this at this time. Can I do this at this time? What about brother, uncle? I can't do this at this time. Please, can I do it at this time? And there's a track record of a lifestyle you will have that if you ask for some things to be extended, they will give it to you. So what did Jesus say? He says, everyone that has forsaken houses, what does it mean? Forsaken brethren. It means that when you come on the missionary journey with Jesus, you will derive your satisfaction of family and community in his family. Such that your biological parents and family will only be as priority to you within that community as long as they are in that community. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So there's a sense of urgency you need to have with the gospel. Don't be lackadaisical about the gospel. Don't be. See, there is work that needs to be done on the earth. I can tell you for free, in case you've forgotten, and I will say it again, I am not the only one that can do the work of the gospel. Only me cannot reach the entire Edinburgh. Excuse me. Well, we're in the local church, so we train you to go into the streets. And I hope you know, as a pastor, I don't train you to go into the streets and I stay behind. Where do you find me? You find me on the streets as well. You find me on the street as well. You know, you can have dedicated time to just serve God. Like, what does it cost you to lock up your Sunday? I said to someone recently, in almost 20 years, if not more than that, the only Sunday I have missed a Sunday service once in my life, like I remember. We traveled out of Nigeria at the time with my parents. Well, I went to Togo, I think, right? And all the churches around were French speaking. And we attempted to look, we will not connect. That was it. Anywhere I find myself, I ensure I preach the gospel. Anywhere I find myself, I ensure that if I'm not going to be out of local church on Sunday, I'm in another local church. You can have that mindset. See, my child cannot be born into my house and not see a template of Sunday reserved as church day. I didn't say he must follow. I believe he will follow. But, you know, let your children know that. That when you are coming to church, they know that you are coming to church. You are coming with your Bible. They know you are coming to church. You are coming with your writing material. When they are praying, they see you are praying. They are watching you. And you're not supposed to be doing those things just because people are watching you. But because they're instructed in scriptures. All together. So, you must ensure that in the real sense, you must have a sense of addiction to following Jesus. Addiction to following Jesus. Addiction to following Jesus. Yeah? If we're supposed to pray for such a certain number of hours, let's pray together. If you're not there, well, I always tell them, yesterday, one of the meetings we had, one of the people who attended the meeting said that their boss asked them to attend the meeting online. Well, everybody has how to speak to their boss. Everybody has different kinds of boss. I understand that. But when we finished our prayer, we had to add more time for her to stay on the call. Yeah? And to finish the hours of prayer. And I was watching her. Not as a punishment. It is that we wanted to pray 5 hours. You've not done 5 hours. You've not done 5 hours. Don't, if you were to pray 5 hours and you didn't pray 5 hours and you prayed for 3 hours and you went to go and legitimately do something for your boss, okay, we can understand that. But at the end of the day, you've not prayed 5 hours. It's simple. It's simple. Don't time church. Church starts at 10 o'clock. By then, they'll still be saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Prayer time. I will walk in at around 15. No. Follow Jesus with all your heart. See, if some of us follow Jesus, we will follow our workers, our workplace, where they are paying us salary. And you forget something, that whatever we call salary, they say salary is what they give you to forget your vision. I don't believe that. Salary is what your boss gives you to forget the vision that God has given you. Don't collect it. Well, salary is important. But much more than salary. Much more than salary. One of those days I traveled for a meeting, and it was a Wednesday, right? And they said, oh, they took us to one of the top restaurants in one of those cities there in the UK. And I said, everybody should come around, that we'll meet and connect. Now, there were people in that meeting I wanted to connect with. Because, you know, when you go for a lunch and all of those things, everybody else, they've lost guard, so you can chat with anybody. The people wanted to connect with in that meeting. And they said, oh, I'll meet time at 6:45. I said, oh, well, I have to be in church by 6:45. Someone asked me, is it that serious? Are you that committed? But guess what? I traded meeting people. And you know the funny thing, this thing happened early last year. And today I've not had the opportunity to meet people I wanted to meet. And I traded teaching you all. Yeah? You'd have noticed some of those days when you see my phone just in front of me. When I travel, I'm going on holiday in the next couple of days now. Right? One thing I cannot forget is my Bible. Anywhere I am, I will teach you. No office. Imagine I go off because I said on holiday. No. Devil does not go on holiday. How many of you have traveled on Christmas Day? I've traveled on Christmas Day from when I come for WCC. You travel on Christmas Day, everybody, people are there. You have, imagine pilots say they are not traveling. People are doing their work. Why come people want church to be different? Why do you think I travel on a Sunday after church? I finish preaching from here sometimes and I run to the airport, catch a flight. Because I want to have a holiday as well. Why do I book my holiday to start on a Sunday afternoon and end on a Sunday morning? It's a sense of responsibility. For any time, if I cannot make it, and the funny thing is that flights are cheaper over the course of the week. I could have gone on a Tuesday, Wednesday, come back the next week and save £5,000. But if I'm not able to spend that £1,000, to ensure I'm in the church on a Sunday, then I cannot afford that trip. Can't you have that mindset? Not because I'm a pastor alone. See, I didn't start pastoring until a couple years ago. And how that I'm saying to you today is how I've been for years, over a decade. Go to Afemi Babalola University, the school I went to. I wasn't the best pianist in the school, but I was the most consistent pianist in the school. You can ask anybody there. I was a leader. I was a choir master. Was I? Never a choir master. Never a lead. I never led committee to gather money. Never for us. Not a leader. But I wake up on Sunday. I'm in church at 7 o'clock. Church is for 10 o'clock. I'm in church for 7 o'clock. Set up sound. Set up the instruments. Go back home. Change my clothes. Come back to church at 9. 15, 20 minutes. Shall I come back to church at 9? I'm in church from 9 o'clock. Church starts at 10. And we are there from 10 to another 1 o'clock or 2. Did that for 5 years. Not one day did I miss a service. Not one. I was not a leader. So I'm not telling you because I'm a pastor. I always ask myself the question. If I'm not there, can God use another person? Yes. Why don't I see it as a privilege to be there? I don't have a record of me missing service because of the... The ambulance came to pick me in my house. So they came to my house two or three months ago. On a Saturday. I didn't get back home until 11 p.m. Said, I'm going to be here to preach the gospel. And I came here. I think I came earlier than a lot of you on that day. I'm saying it to you, it's not because I'm a pastor. Like I always say to you, your pastor is just a model and example of who you can become in the Christian faith. There's nothing wrong in looking fine, nothing wrong in there's anything they call it steez. Is it steez? They call it now. Yeah, your steez. Steez. What is steez? What is the meaning of steez? The swag. They move from swag to steez. Jeez. Some of you saw the post. Jeez. All of you see these things. Yeah? But you know me, no matter how Jesus, I can be a loving person, loving, adorable person when it comes to romance. When it comes to Jesus, I put my romance at the door. Yeah? We pray frequently, but we have a consistency of 1 hour, once a week as a couple. When we do it, funny thing, she comes back home just a few minutes before prayer time. I say, I'm just going to rest. No. When we finish praying our 1 hour, you go and what? You rest all the rest together. You know it's cumulative. Yeah. Some of you men, I'll speak to you as well. Yeah. A lot of our ladies are looking up to you for what? Responsibility. To take leadership responsibility. You should not be the one that they are begging you. I'm saying, it's time for church now. They come and wake you in the morning. They just go downstairs or they go upstairs or they go and bring something and say, you are still in the bed. You know, you can lead by example. You can lead by example. Let it be your focus, your mind, that you live in church. Nothing suffers for it. Nothing. I'm there. Come rain, come sunshine. Rain falls, you don't miss your walk. Rain falls, you don't miss your flight. Rain falls, you don't miss your appointment. Rain falls, you miss church. Some of you, rain does not even have to fall. The weather just has to change. Once the weather is brown, out enough. This forecast is saying that rain will fall at 2. And this is 9 o'clock. And rain will fall at 2. Let me just roll on the bed. It's easy to roll on the bed. But let me say to you, see, God has men. God uses men. Always see yourself as privileged in doing the will of God. Let me close here for today. I won't touch the teenagers' conversation. Yeah? I'll pick it up on Wednesday. But let that instruct your heart. Let that instruct your heart. That you need to be committed to Jesus. Come rain, come sunshine. It's a song we used to sing when growing up. Say, if rain is falling, I will what? Follow Jesus. If fire is burning, I will follow Jesus. God has a will for you on this earth. When you became a believer, God gave you a JD. You know what a JD is? Job description. Every believer has a JD. And your JD means what? Through the will of the Father. Be committed to Jesus. Follow in his steps. Learn to sacrifice things. Have that attitude in following Jesus. Amen?